Okay, if I can have your attention, we're going to get cranked up here. Tony is I'm sure going to tell us a little bit about Africa, but I know he's going to tell us a lot about God.
Good morning. And it's so strange, isn't it? I mean, a month ago, I'm in Kenya, and I would say, good morning, church, and then I would say it in Swahili, too. Abadi Asabui Kanisa, that's in Swahili. But Deborah and Galen were there 2 months ago. And, I mean, here we are in Snyder, Texas. Isn't that strange? You just go, wow. And God is amazing. Rick, thank you for the lesson. As they were singing that song, Terry, y'all sing that song and had that video up there, and I'm watching, I'm thinking, you know, Rick's tying him with his lesson about how God uses people you never think of. Have you ever thought about all the people in Israel when Jesus was born that he went to were some astrologers that were not even known as, you know, believers in God, more in the stars. He went to the wise men and then to some old shepherds out in the field. They got to experience angels singing and a star to lead them, and you just go, wow. And then I'm watching that, and you think about, I've been following, I don't know if any of you get Max Lucado's devotionals, but he's been talking about Joseph and what a good man he had to be, and how after the deal when Jesus was 12, you don't read much about Joseph. But what a man he had to be. And you see him and then Mary, the little Jewish girl, and you think, you know, how God uses people that you never think of to accomplish his purpose. Isn't that amazing? So as we say that this morning, I want to say to you, I was just talking to Galen about how, you know, you never know. Here I am, just an old coach. You knew me back in the day when I was coach at Western Texas. And yes, I was involved and I let God use me, and I did the Bible chair. And I even did a class here and all that. But, you know, I never saw myself as going to Kenya in East Africa and being a missionary. In fact, when people call me that, I said, no, don't call me a missionary. And there's one guy down on the corner there with the matatus or the public. It's busy, crazy. One guy calls me John. Another one calls me coach. Another one calls me Tony. Another one calls me pastor. And I say, don't call me that. I work for a living. You know, and so that's a joke in Kenya because, you know, the preachers, most of them, they're just a way of getting money. But, and then another one calls me Kamal, which is a Kikuyu tribe name. And the reason they call me that, because my first question is always, how much does it cost? And so my family would say, my wife, she came from money, I did not. We would go into the store, and first thing she would do is go look at something she wanted. She didn't look at the price. And I said, well, how much does it cost? She said, I don't know. Does it matter? I said, yeah, it matters, you know? And so with that said, you heard me say last time I was here talking about how we got to where we are. It wasn't because Tony had a lot of faith. Rick, my faith was small. And I told you I was on my knees praying because my staff had been on to me about, Coach, we really need a boarding school. And I said, do y'all know how much that's going to cost? How much trouble that's going to be? And so they had been on to me this one day. It's an early morning. I get up at 4:30 so I can have time to pray and devotional. And I'm on my knees praying. And I'm saying, God, do you really want us to do a boarding school? And I know just wasn't like a voice, but his spirit came over me. And he said, Tony, don't you realize I've got all the money in the world? Mm-hmm. And I said, wow. So I went back and told the staff, okay, I'm all in. Let's do a boarding school. That was 2019. We bought one that year. It took about 3 months to find the right one. We kissed a lot of toads before we got the handsome prince. And I found some, didn't work, and God turned us down, and we got the right one. And I was concerned about the money, but after we made the commitment, signed the sales agreement, in a month, we had all the money to pay for it. God is just amazing. And then when I was here last time, I talked about us doing a high school. There again, I was lacking in faith. My principal at the school, at the boarding school, said, Coach, do you realize we've got eighth graders? They're about to go to high school. And a lot of these kids, when they go off to high school, they're going to go to schools that are not godly. And they're going to end up here. We love them. We teach them to pray. We teach them to trust God. And so, you know, we need to do a high school here. She convinced me. And we, through prayer and all, we got that done. And from one of you, actually, we had a donation to build the first phase of our high school. God is good, is he not? Through another person, we had the money to buy the land. I'm going to show you a photo here in a minute. I've just been overwhelmed. God truly has all the money in the world, but he uses us. Isn't that something? He uses you and me. So as we look at the first slide, power of God working. I want to share with you this scripture. I'm sure you probably had seen it before, but I had seen it, but I hadn't really seen it. The power of God working. Is it possible to dim those lights a little better up there so we can see a little bit better? These are four of our little girls praying. And as Galen and Debbie will tell you, this is what they do when they say, pray your personal prayers. They just drop down on their knees and start praying. They believe that God is going to answer them. And I love these, some of my girls, the one on the right, Milan and Gloria. Gloria is just, she's had trials in her life, but she's such a faith believer. And so, yeah, I know you claimed her too. Let me see if I can advance this. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 18, 19. I came across this, and I've read it many a times, but I just never got the full impact of it. He's saying, Paul is saying, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with lights. So he wants the light to come on, kind of like Peter. You know, he had to be told three times before he got it. I want the light to come on so you understand the confident hope he has given those he's called. His holy people who are his rich, glorious inheritance, okay? I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Now listen to this part. What power is it? He says it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what he wants to give us. I went, wow. The same power that raised the lifeless body of Jesus and gave him life is the same power he wants each of us to have. Isn't that amazing? And so you think, wow. And yet, I admit, I confess to you, I'm weak. I don't believe that a lot of times, and I fail to use God's power. The prayer that Rick had this morning for the two ladies, I pray God's prayer on you, because his power is able to do amazing things. I've witnessed it. Who would think that a couple from Snyder, Texas, who had never traveled outside of the United States, right? Mexico. Oh, to Mexico. Well, that doesn't count. Mexico doesn't count. Had come all the way to Africa and fall in love with our kids. They did a great job. Debbie got over there. She was worried about teaching and all. And I said, you don't have any worries. You know, our kids, they're like sponges. They soak up everything, right? And I see them, and they're wearing her crown. She did the story of Esther, and what a great story that is. Galen saw all the kids, and that some of them would come out and they'd say, he's such a nice man. And I said, yes, he is. He would talk to every child that he saw before he would examine them. But the story of Esther, you know, chapter 4, verse 14, the last part of that, you know, the story is, you know, Mordecai had told her, don't tell him you're a Jew, okay? So she didn't. You know the story. King Xerxes, he gets mad at his queen because she won't come, let him show her off to his guest. They've been drinking, a big drinking party, and that whole thing is amazing. God uses the, Gentile guy like that. But anyway, she becomes queen. They have a beauty contest, and Esther is selected. And so, yet, even so, she selected as queen. It's been a long time. She says, you know, it's been over a month or longer several months, I guess, before she's been called. But now the bad guy, Haman, and I did like you, we'd have boo, the kids say boo when you mention Haman. And when you mention Esther, we'd say, wow. And then Mordecai, good man, or clap, or something, however you do with kids. But Haman hates the Jews because he hates Mordecai, because Mordecai won't stand up or bow down. He stands up, or he just stays where he is. He won't bow down to him as he comes by. And he sees himself as a big guy, someone important. So he not only decrees in his mind he's going to get rid of Mordecai, he's going to get rid of all the Jews. So you know the story. So the decree is signed. You know, Haman pays the money. It goes out. Obviously, Esther didn't know about it. Mordecai sends word to her and that you need to do something. You need to go to the king and beg for our lives. And she says, but you don't understand. He hadn't called me. If I go in his presence and I show up unannounced, you know, he can kill me. That's the standard thing that happens. You just don't go do that. Unless he happens to hold out his golden scepter, then you can come forward. Well, of course, Mordecai sends the famous words back, and he said, don't think that you and your family will be spared. In fact, you know, God can raise someone to redeem us from somewhere else, but you and your family will perish. And who knows, this is what I want to say to you, who knows that you were placed here at this time for such a time as this? And I want to say to you, do you ever think about God put you in Snyder, Texas to use you for such a time as this? I don't know what that is. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared in advance for you to do. Think about that. God has something for you to do that nobody else can do. You go, well, who am I? We were talking about that. I was like, you know, I'm just an old coach from Zephyr, Texas. Some of you know where Zephyr is, other side of Brownwood. It's got one blinking light. I live 4.5 miles out there towards Blanket, you know, on a creek, raised on a farm, little farm boy. We moved into the city. Brownwood was a big city for me. And my graduation, I was senior class president. I had to give a talk. I was scared to death. My knees were shaking. I had never been up in front of a crowd. We had the graduation, the Coliseum, about 5,000 people there, and I couldn't believe it. And they worked on my speech, and I remember the speech teacher kept telling me, Tony, you got to speak up. And I thought I was shouting, you know. I got up. I don't know how I did. It was a red canned speech, but that was my first time, and I was scared to death and scared to get up in front of a group. I tell my staff this in Kenyan. They go, what? Are you kidding me? Coach, you just talk all the time now. I said, well, it's amazing what God does, isn't it? God can do amazing things. A little boy from Zephyr, Texas, and I'm representing him in Kenya through you. And you, this little church in Snyder, Texas, is one of our biggest supporters. Isn't that amazing? Of all the big mega churches around, you do as much as anybody. I was visiting Seneff, Missouri, a little cotton farming town in Missouri. Sorry, Jim, Bob, Mark, they've had rain there. You know, they have all their cotton in and they've had rain. So we pray for that here. We pray for God's power to bring you rain. But they've been so good to us, like y'all. They have 15 people, sponsor 18 kids, and they always give us a nice gift at the end of the year. And they love the Lord. But a small little church, no bigger than this, probably smaller actually. But my cousin went to Kenya. He came to Kenya. He became a great ambassador, became all in. Now he goes back and he talks about those kids. And, you know, the kids are what it's all about. Jesus loved children. And he says, let the little children come to me. This scripture, we can tap that power. I don't know, can we dim the lights again, please? Sorry, Terry. Get your exercise. This is it's amazing how they do these bird's eye views these days. What do they call those? Think, Yeah, drone. They did this with a drone. You can see the basketball court. The blue top buildings are the new ones that have been added. That is our school. Since then, there's been some other buildings added. I'm going to show you those in a minute. But you see the blue top building at the very back? Okay, that's the staff housing for the teachers that Zenith Church built. In front of that is a science building that we've built. And then and it's got classrooms and all. But the trees back there, about the same length of our property, we've purchased that, thanks to many of you, to put our high school on. God willing, January 1st, we'll start construction. We've got an acre there, and it's going to be right next to our school, so we can share some facilities to start with. So what's so important about all this? Well, what's important is the kids, the environment they're raised in, and showing them Jesus. I'm going to show you a couple other buildings. This is, y'all, they were starting on this, but they're almost completed. Visitors housing and administrative housing for our administrators and for visitors to come. So if you do bring a group, we'll have a two-bedroom apartment plus another one-bedroom that y'all stayed in for visitors. The other thing we're starting on now is administration building and reception, and then that will complete our current campus, which is for grades 4th grade through 8th grade. Why is this important? This is where our kids come from. If you can see those shacks. This is Galen and Debbie. You got to visit Jangwani, did you not? Okay, it's even a little bit worse than this. Open sewer in front of their homes. These kids now, you're talking about prayers, Terry. Man, they need your prayers. They have a tough time when they go back home. We're taking a 14-day break, 2 weeks. They'll go back to this after living out there at the boarding school. And our little kids in the Mathari get 2 meals a day. Well, now they go back and they're on their own for meals. So today, our staff bought, through generous donations from sponsors and donors, bought food staples, and all the parents and the children came up after church today. They were came over to the other building. They were handed out food staples so that they'll have food for the 14-day holiday. And so, you know, we're trying to make a difference in their lives because life is tough in the slums. Satan is alive and well. Anything bad you want to mention is there, and some that you never thought of. So thank you for all you do. But this is what our kids live in. The reason it's so important to get them to a clean environment. This is the boarding school, the girls' dorm. I've got to tell you one story. Our kids had come back out to the boarding school from that Mathari slum on a holiday. They were ran to get in their rooms. I went into the girls' dorm to check on them, and one of the little girls, she's laying on a bottom bunk, and I feel this little tug on my pant legs. And I look down, she's all covered up, and she said, "Coach, I'm so happy to be in my own bed and to be warm. I have my own bed again." See, at home, they don't have their own bed. At home, they sleep on pallets or on the floor, or a mattress on the floor with two or three of their siblings. And so this is a great thing. They have their own bed, their own mattress, their own covers. We actually have mosquito nets now to cover them. They can take a shower every day. They have washrooms at the back. They get to take a shower. They start the day, that photo of those little girls praying, they start every day. In fact, I don't know if y'all heard them when you were there, but at 5:30 in the morning, they get up and they start their day with devotional singing. You heard them? Both the boys and the girls start their day singing and praying to God. And that's what my principal is saying. This is what our kids will miss. Then they go and they do 6 o'clock. They get tea. And then they go and do studies from 6 to, I think, 7:30. And then they come and they get porridge mid-morning. Then they go to classes at 8, and then lunch, and then dinner. So they're getting 3 meals a day out at the boarding school. In Mathari, we give them 2 meals a day. Here's some of our staff at the kids. What's important about the boarding school? For one thing, clean environment, but the other thing is the staff that loves them. This is a staff with them in assembly outside. Our kids are being taught Jesus every day. Debbie taught the Bible lesson. They start in the morning with a Bible lesson. Then they have Christian religious education in the curriculum. Can you believe that? Kenya has Bible taught in the curriculum. We quite don't have that in the U.S., do we? We can teach that with our own ways to make sure that we teach just the Bible. I love this photo. This is one of our older kids praying with one of the younger ones. And teaching them, just if you've got a problem, just sit down and pray. Isn't that just amazing? You look at that and you think, wow, I wish I had that kind of heart. And Galen and Debbie can tell you this is just what they do. Every afternoon at 5:30 before dinner, they have a devotional, the whole school. And when they say individual prayers, the kids go and they start praying for their families back home. They pray for their sponsors, for those of you who sponsor a child. They pray for you. They pray for, you know, God to give us whatever we need out at the boarding school. When we were drilling the water well, the borehole, they call it, they all went as a school and stood over that hole and prayed that we'd reach water, and we did. And we struck water, so we have water there now. And they've been praying for the high school, and God has given us the land, and now we have the high school. You know, I thought of this. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The lesson today and the songs, you know, what an amazing thing. And still, back then, Jesus didn't do it the way they thought. He didn't go to the priest. You know, he didn't. It wasn't the priest that were called to go see Jesus. And you know, when he did his ministry, I tell our kids all the time, if Jesus was in flesh today, he'd be roaming around here in Mathari, in this slum. He'd be walking among the poor. He would be helping the poor. He would be helping the disenfranchised, those that need special prayers and help, because he's about helping the helpless. He's about helping the poor. Jesus' own brother said in James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion is to help the widows and orphans in their need and keep yourself being polluted by the world." So, you know, and Jesus was asked, what's really important in this life? Love God above everything else and love people. So it's amazing to me that love God, love people is still the message we send today. How are we doing on time, Terry? Are we done? 30 minutes? No. How much time do I have? Oh, okay. Good. I want to share this with you. I know Galen and Debbie have been there, and they've talked to some of you and about going. Put this scripture in your mind, remember it. And Paul is saying, we are Christ's ambassadors. And I told them the greatest thing that will happen from you being in Kenya will be that you become an ambassador for us and for our program. We implore you on Christ to have to be reconciled to God, so God can use whomever. So I'm going to take just a moment, ask you a question. Galen first, then Debbie. What is your biggest takeaway from Kenya?
Hold on, I'm coming.
Okay.
Man, y'all get your money's worth out of me today.
Yeah. Get your steps in today, won't you?
Right.
I didn't warn them ahead of time. So that's the reason he's trying to get his word. Sorry.
That's okay. Is this on?
Yes.
My biggest takeaway, when I first went there, I didn't know what to expect. I was thinking, okay, we've got a, Tony's got the school, we got the kids and everything, and I'll go take care of them. You know, I'll do some medical stuff. But you know the best thing about it? It's those kids. Their hearts are just so open and so loving, and we wanted to wrap them all up and take them back with us. Every one of them. The ones that we sponsor, like Brian, he was the older kid there praying with the young one. We went to their house and saw how he lived and saw what it meant to him to be at the boarding school compared to where he was at, where he lives. And Gail Joy, we saw her grandmother and where she lives and what it means to her. I felt like we were God's hands and feet while we were there. And you know what? It just doesn't get any better than that.
Amen.
Well, it was the children. We fell in love with those children, with Brian and Gil Joy and Gloria. Gloria sent me a note. In fact, she sent me two notes saying, will you be my mom? And so I love Gloria. And the children just surround you. They completely surround you. They all want to touch you. They want to hug you. They want their picture made with you. They love you just for being there. But one of the things that, boy, it really, really, really struck me was the poverty. The poverty was overwhelming. We have no concept of poverty in our country. And after I got back home, it dawned on me, I did not see any toys there. At Kasserian, which is the boarding school, the teachers have teacher housing. And so they have younger children. And you'd see these younger children, you know, the two-year-olds and three-year-olds, they'd be outside playing, and it was so sweet. And at one point I had, I don't know, four or five of them around me, and I got my phone out and showed them some little game I have for Maggie on the phone, and they were just fascinated by that on my phone. But it dawned on me when I got back, I never saw a toy. I went into the teacher housing, and there were no toys there. And I thought, we have rooms devoted to toys. We have playrooms that are just filled with toys, and they have no toys. We buy toys for our dogs and our cats and our birds or whatever you have, and those children had no toys. It just was overwhelming to me how much money we have here and how little they have there. And I'm telling you, $35 a month or $70 a month, the Mathari, the day school, is $35 a month to support a child and $70 at the boarding school. Gail and I eat out all the time, and our tab is easily $35. And we don't think anything about it. We just pay it. And that supports a child for a month. We eat two more meals out, we've supported another child. I mean, or we paid out the money that would have supported another child. The poverty was overwhelming. We just have no clue here.
Right.
And those children live in that. And everywhere we went, we had to have security with us because, what's the word?
Mazungu.
Mazumba.
White people.
We were white people. And let me tell you...
They were the only white people in that slum.
We stood out. And when we're walking down the, when I say a street is a nice word for what it was.
A trail.
A trail, yeah. People were just stopping and staring at us. Why are these white people here? Because white people don't go down there. It is dirty, and it's trashy, and it's smelly. And it is beyond words. I mean, open sewers. You know, we had to step over to get across the street. Or, get out of the way of the motorcycles. That's about all that would go down most of those streets were motorcycles. And you just had to get out of the way. And it was awful. I mean, beyond words, awful. And the poverty was just overwhelming. Made me realize how wealthy Americans are. And I don't care how much money you make here, you would be wealthy compared to what those children live in.
Amen. Thank you. It's so true. Average teacher, the ones that best teacher makes, I think... Okay. The best paid teacher makes like $280 a month. Most of them make around $200 to $250 a month. Okay, that's the teachers. We're raising them some this next year, thanks to some of your donations. We're raising them all some. And, you know, we can't raise them a whole lot. For the most part, the $35 to $70 pays teacher salaries, and it pays for the meals. That's what that goes to for the kids. Out in Mathari, the slum, where we have 4, 5, 6-year-olds in one building, first, second, and third in the other, that's our campus. We change of life learning center in Mathari, and that houses 4-year-olds up to third grade. When they reach fourth grade, they move out to boarding school. We have some exceptions, some kids that were basically living on the street. We brought them. We have a combined class out at the boarding school of like 12 kids that didn't have homes, and so they're boarding out there. A little boy and his girl, they were kicked out of their home. He's third grade. Susan is first grade, I think. You remember her? And precious little children. But the thing overall that still amazes you, you see where they come from. They come to school and they're happy, they're smiling, they're excited. Life is not easy. Talking about Gloria, just, you know, she's had a tough life. She was born with HIV positive, you know, and so, you know, that's not easy for a child to deal with. And we've had to deal with that, the meds and all, and we try to keep that very confidential so she didn't have that stigma. But it's nothing to do with her, you know, she didn't deserve that. She was born as a baby. So I say that to say, you know, some of these kids, and so we're trying our best to help them make it through this world, but more than anything else, to show them Jesus. Because with Jesus, all is possible. With God, anything is possible. And I tell them all the time, I get up, and they love Coach to get up because they figure that's going to be good news. And when I'm ice cream, they were shocked that just recently over the holiday they got ice cream. They kept looking for Coach, because usually when there's ice cream, I'm the one that buys it. But I tell them, what we want for you is get a great education. Do the best you can. Get out. Get a college or a technical school. Get you a good job. Get you and your family out of Mathari. Then you give back to other kids. And that's what we have some of our kids doing. Isadora was part of our sponsorship program. Collins was part of our sponsorship program. Ruth Atieno was part of our sponsorship program. Juliet Lennett, who was teaching fives, who got a better job at another school, was part of our sponsorship program. Gertrude out at the school, it's a dorm one, the dorm mothers, and Esther, both part of our sponsorship program. So I say that we have some already giving back. That's what we want them to do, to learn, to turn around and show Jesus to others. And we want to ask you to keep praying for our kids. Pray for them for this holiday. It's a tough time. As Terry was talking about, not everything's, you know, Christmassy and joyful, even here in the States for a lot of people. You know, it brings sadness. They've lost loved ones. They have sickness. They have disease. Our kids there face problems every day, just finding something to eat. That's the reason we did the food handout. So God willing, they'll have something to eat. And Let me just say this, then I'm going to see if you have questions. More than anything else, the thing that you do is pray. Pray for our kids, pray for our staff. Every morning we solicit your prayers. Second of all, you know, the fact that this church gives financially to support what we do. We have the school in Mathari. We have the school in Kasserian. We have Saturday program. We were doing a big one with the kids, and the government won't let us do that one yet because of COVID, but we are doing meeting with the teens. If you got the newsletter, you saw the teens got to do for a Christmas dinner. They got to go to KFC. That's a big thing for them. They got to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that was wow, you know. And our kids all got chicken dinners at the school, and they were like, wow, not only did they get a chicken dinner, but they got ice cream. And so we want them to experience some good things in life, but always we want them to know that all this comes from God. It's not us. It comes from God. It comes from you letting God use you as an ambassador. The reason I wanted Galen and Debbie to talk, because I know they're going to be great ambassadors. If you got a question that I can't answer, I'm not here, ask them. They'll tell you. The two big things that I came away from when I went there the first time was, what can you do? There's just so much poverty. You can help one child. And second of all is that, but for the grace of God, that would be me, so I need to do something. And most Americans don't think that, but that really could have been you. What's to say that you weren't the one born there in that slum? Only by the grace of God are you blessed to be where you are. And so now I want to open up, see if you've got questions. Does anybody have a question?
So how far apart is Mathari to Kasserian? How are they?
It's kind of like you do in Dallas. You're talking about how long it takes you to get there.
That's right. Okay.
On a Sunday morning, it's 1 hour. All the other time, an hour and a half, I'm 45 minutes. Really, it's not that far. Okay. It's probably no more than 40 miles.
Okay.
But because of traffic, as Galen and Debbie can tell you, some of the worst traffic you'll see. Only place I've ever seen traffic worse is in Mexico City, a city of 20 million. But other than that, you know, first day my wife rode, when she went back with me in 2018, she rode up front. Next day she said, I'm in the back. Because you got 6 inches on the right, 6 inches here, 6 inches in front, the back. You know, I mean, if you're claustrophobic, you don't want to drive there. I literally, and I mean this sincerely and not, saying any, I thank God when I leave the country and have not had a wreck, because it's going to happen sooner or later. Somebody's going to hit you, cut in front of you, bump you, back into you or something. So, but it's only about 40 miles, but it's out. You go through out of Nairobi into a town called Ongatarongai, and then it goes to Kasserian. Then we're out of Kasserian about 4 miles out in the country. And there's houses, as you probably saw, being built around now, but it's still clean air. You just kind of take a deep breath. It's kind of like being in Snyder, Texas, you know, without the oil wells, you know. So, good question, though. Anybody else? Questions? Anything you want to ask?
We're going to do our presentation at the end of January for Mission Month. So, that Mission Sunday, we're going to have our presentation. So, you're going to see wonderful pictures, and we'll get to tell some wonderful stories.
Yes.
How do you go about getting set up to sponsor a child?
See Debbie and Galen, or you can get one of our newsletters and that, or go on the website. It's just calkenya.org, calkenya.org, all lowercase, calkenya.org is our website, calkenya.org, and there's a place where you sponsor a child. You can check on that, or probably easier, we just get with them. Okay, if you don't get our newsletter, we send out a weekly newsletter that you can get free of charge. You just got to have, you have to have an email. I'll send that to you every week. You may get tired of getting emails. You can just delete them or don't read them. But we send that out. And when I was on the mission committee, two different places, one of the biggest complaints we had from the members was, We don't hear from our missionaries. We don't know what's going on. So I determined that with this work, if you don't know what's going on, it's your own fault, because all you got to do is read or ask. We will respond. And every time you give a check, I'll write you a personal email and say, thank you, we received your check, because I know that's important. I gave to a work for 5 years and never got a note from the church or from the missionary that they ever received my check. Wasn't much, it's $25. But we didn't have much back in the 80s either. So, you know, it would have been nice just to get a note saying, received your check. And they never wrote anything. Not belaboring them, but it's just some people don't understand the importance of that. So I know it's a sacrifice. When you give, God willing, unless I really mess up, I will give you a personal email, okay? Good question, though. And please see them. If they can't help you, we'll get in touch. We'll get that done. We have 20 new babies coming in January, okay? That's where we bring our kids in, the intake. We'll start doing those in January. Because of COVID, our last term for 2021 is January, February, and part of March. They will actually start school April the 25th, okay? But we'll start doing the intake in January. We have our main criteria is poorest of poor, number one. They have to be in need. And so Francis Otieno is our staff person that goes as a liaison. He's our social worker, goes and visits the homes. He knows those homes. He knows the people. He's our liaison to the parents. He will go check out the situation. Then they have to have a birth certificate and be ready for school. A lot of them don't have birth certificates. We tell them, you've got to get that done, because when they're in third grade and again eighth grade, they have to have a because of a national exam. So we just make them do that to start school. The other thing is that we have to have some connection. We want someone in the area that we can visit. We can have connection and help change that family, not just the child. We want to make an influence on the family. And so that's pretty much it. And then, you know, obviously we probably nearly always get more requests than we have, but we are limited in space by the government and by our facilities. But other questions? Yes, sir.
At the boarding school, what kind of medical facilities do you have for the...
It's a good question. Galen, you want to answer that?
They don't have much, Jim Bob. They really don't. And when I did the exam room, I went to the principal's office. And they have the suitcases with the medicine that we brought.
Speak in the mic.
They had the suitcases with the medicine that we had brought. And I talked to Tony and Deborah, and we're hoping in the new building that they've got that we'll have a clinic in there. There's a doctor that we were under, Dr. Ann. She's out of Austin, and she's been there, and she gives her protocols and stuff that we followed for treatment. And OT, which is Francis, he was talking about. He's got a little bit of medical training and stuff, and I did some training on him too, and Dr. Ann had. And when he has questions, he'll call.
And so, then Dennis and his wife, Constantina, yes. You trained some, and they were the ones at the boarding school. But he's right. We really don't have a designated area. We're designating a room now that we've already designated a room now for the clinic. And we'll have meds, and Dr. Ann will be... We can contact her, but if we have a serious case, we have to take them into town. There's about 15-minute drive away, a medical center that we take kids to, which we do. And we have somebody from California brought us one of these, they call it tuk-tuk, three-wheel vehicles. You see them a lot in Asia. You know, it's reasonable. We've got one of those, fairly new, a couple in California brought us, so we can take that. We've got our people certified to drive it, so they can take kids that stays out at the boarding school.
We are hoping to outfit the clinic with some essential things that are needed.
Yeah,
some people here might want to help with that. A sick bed,
somebody that's sick that we can't get right away. We need a place to, you know, isolate them and get them away from the other kids and all. Yeah, We're just using two of our staff people there and one down in Mathari of our people. We had a pharmacist that came out, and chemists, they call them there. They are certified in medicine, that came out and did triage and checked our kids. And he was supposed to do it, you know, on a regular basis, but like a lot of people, he did it once and that was it, you know. It's hard to get people, local people there to commit, you know, unless you're giving them money. So we may eventually have to hire someone, a nurse, a nurse practitioner out there. We don't have that right now. We have to take them in for anything serious into Kasirian, which is about a 15-minute drive. Anyone else? Any questions you have at all about anything that you've heard? What time do we normally end?
We can quit any time you're ready. 5 minutes is how much is left in our
5 minutes. That's a good time for me to wrap up. We have a lot of need, the clinic being one. They wanted, and so we've already dedicated a room to make into a clinic. You know, if you want to do something, you can help us get a person that can work out there full time, a nurse practitioner, someone that could do triage and treatment. And, you know, if it's something serious, we can take them into the hospital. But, you know, I don't know what that would cost. Most times you're talking $300 to $350 for somebody like that, a month minimum to get them to come out there. We'd have to provide a place for them to live and all. We've got a girl that's training now that's one of our kids that's finished. She's graduated from college, but her training was not quite that type of training. It is in the medical field, but I don't know that she would be any good at that. We'll just have to check and see. But we also are hoping that one of the other churches can help us outfit a computer science room and computers for our high school. We think that can happen. We're in the process. As soon as we sign the papers and close on the land, we'll start building. We've already got the stones. We'll start building the high school. We're going to do a boys' dorm, girls' dorm, classrooms, and hopefully a kitchen in phase one. Yeah, that would work.
Well, Tony shamed me into the deal all these years going, you need to go now, you're retired.
Yeah. Well, you know, before Rick and Jenna were here, and we kept asking them, and they didn't go when they were in Snyder, so they're the only ones from Snyder, I still say they're from Snyder, that went over there until Galen and Debbie, but then they had to leave Snyder and be in Abilene, and finally my wife shamed them into it. They were going to Israel. She said, how can in the world can you go to Israel and you haven't been to Kenya? You know, that's just a vacation. We're talking to you going to see the kids. So they did, and they fell in love with the kids, and they've been very involved ever since. And they've got, the good thing they are doing is they've got some people that are really helping us. They've got great contacts, and they've been great ambassadors. So you don't always have to do it yourself. Sometimes it's just other people. But yeah, we're okay with Galen and Debbie coming. You know, I think Debbie wanted to stay with some of our kids. Any other questions? Thank y'all. You know, in Romans 10, Paul is talking there, and he's talking about how can someone hear unless someone is sent to preach to them. You know, they can't believe unless they hear. Someone's got to preach to them. And how can somebody preach to them unless they're sent? And so what you do, you don't always have to go, but you can send me. You sent Galen and Debbie. You can sometimes be part of a work sitting right here in Snyder, Texas. You understand? And so thank you for all you do. He said, how blessed are the feet of those that go and preach the word. Our kids are blessed because I go and I give them your love, I give them your blessings, and I help them see Jesus. It's not me, you know, it's Jesus. And so thank you for all you do to send me, to help me get there, help me while I'm there, and help our children. May God bless you, because it's a great thing, I assure you. Anything else? Do you normally close with a word of prayer?
Father God, we ask your blessings upon Tony and his wife, and Father, especially our kids, in Mathari and in Kasarian. Father, you know all the needs, and Father, like Tony said, you have all the money in the world. Father, just take care of them and bless them. Help them have a good Christmas and come back. And Father, keep Tony safe as he travels again in January there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, I actually leave Abilene the 28th, and God willing, fly out on the 29th. And so if you've got a child and you want to send a letter, be sure and get it to me today or mail that to me.